Moore's Law is alive and well in the simulator industry. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Gordon Moore, one of the founders of Intel, once noted that the power of computer processors doubles every 18 months. It's come to be known in the industry as Moore's Law. If you've bought a desktop computer recently to use for email and word processing, it may have occurred to you that you're not using 5% of the capabilities of that screaming quad-core chip it came with. But there is an industry that uses everything the fastest available processors can do, and will for the foreseeable future. It's the simulator industry, and that industry's annual show and convention is called ITSEC, short for Inter-Service Industry Training, Simulation, and Education Conference. At the 2010 show in Orlando, held November 29th through December 2nd, ANN and Aero TV got a look at this amazing industry. Our own Jim Campbell talked about the show and industry with the president of the National Training and Simulation Association, retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Fred Lewis.
You walk around, you see amazing technologies. We've been walking around for a number of years now, and every year we see areas of revolutionary change and other areas of evolutionary change. It's been a phenomenal event to watch technology march on. From your standpoint, where do you see the 2010 simulation community right now? Where do you see the greatest value and the greatest strides over 2009?
That's a wonderful question. And you made a remark that I think really captures what ITSEC is. ITSEC is a dynamic. It's a business proposition, for sure, we know that. But it's a dynamic. It's a dynamic in the sense that you talked about growth and then you talked about technology change. All of that is part of the equation that makes up ITSEC. Over the past 10 or 15 years, we've seen our growth, I won't say skyrocket, but progress positively. And in fact, this year, we're bigger and better than last year. Last year, for example, one metric is that we booked 220,000 square feet of exhibit space last year. This year, we're at 228,000 square feet. So we're happy about that. There are almost 600 companies that are represented down on the exhibit floor, and that's a record as well. We're on a glide path to at least match or exceed the number of delegates, of personnel who are here at ITSEC. Last year, we bumped up against 19,000, and I'm confident that we'll get to that level at least, and I'm hopeful that we'll even exceed that. But I think a better indicator of our success is the development of the technology, which you addressed and which I mentioned a moment ago. You know, we began as really deeply involved in flight simulation back in 1965 when ITSEC began. It was begun by the Navy in a very small way, a couple hundred people. And then it grew from there. The other services came aboard. But the emphasis continued to be on flight simulation, flight training simulation, and so forth. And we've seen dramatic improvements in that technology over time. I think you would agree with that. Mm-hmm. They've just gotten better to the extent that now, as is well known and a well kind of worn out sort of anecdote, is that commercial flight training, for example, level 4D simulators qualify a pilot to fly revenue-bearing loads without virtue of having to flown a single flight in the airplane. It's all done in the simulator. So that technology has progressed significantly. The technology here at ITSEC, however, is not devoted essentially to the commercial aircraft industry market. Mm-hmm. It's more the military case. And we've seen rapid changes and developments along the same lines, in parallel with what's happened in the commercial airline industry, in terms of capability, realism, believability, immersion, all those words that we use to describe the utility of a particular simulation. So it's changed in the flight training area. It's still a great emphasis on flight training here at ITSEC, but it's morphed into something quite different. People have discovered that modeling and simulation have utility in other domains, not just in the flight training area. Other domains that include healthcare simulation, training simulation, and disaster preparedness, prediction of meteorological phenomena, and those kinds of things. Automobile driver training, tank driving training, and applications across the board. That's in pretty much in the defense sector, but in the private sector as well, there's all sorts of applications. I mentioned the healthcare. It began really in the military case, but it's branched off into the private sector and training of nurses, emergency room personnel, first responders, surgeons, and so forth. And there are applications also in nuclear power training, power plant training. There's applications in training of our people who run our conventional electrical power plants, maintenance of the electrical power grid within the United States and elsewhere. And in financial, there's an application for utilization of modeling simulation technologies for our financial industry. I wish they would have used it a little bit better a couple of years ago. I think we'd all been a heck of a lot better off. So we're seeing the emergence of capability in those different domains at IDSEC. What we've really featured this year for the first time in the healthcare arena, after last year's event, we took a look at our attendees and our exhibitors. And we did a rough calculation that about 90 of the 500 or so companies that were here involved in at IDSEC were involved in the healthcare area. Some exclusively devoted to healthcare, others who were sort of part task involved in healthcare, the larger companies and so forth. So we thought, wow, that's a pretty big statement. So let's try to do something a little bit different to try to focus some attention on the healthcare training capability, and we've established a healthcare pavilion for the very first time this year. And I'm confident that that particular sector is going to grow significantly. There's great interest across the nation in utilization of healthcare simulation, healthcare training simulation, not only by the doctors and nurses themselves, but the hospitals and the insurance companies are all interested in the expansion of that technology.
More with Jim Campbell and retired Navy Rear Admiral Fred Lewis in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. Jim Campbell is talking with retired Navy Rear Admiral Fred Lewis about the sim industry and the way in which it's beginning to prove its value in industries outside defense. It's not just about simulating flight anymore.
We've also reached out this year for the first time to the folks in the UVA, unmanned vehicle arena, that industry, to try to determine if there's a point of crossroads for our two domains. And there's so many similarities there that it just seems a natural fit that we would somehow or other develop some sort of a partnership. So we're exploring that right now with those great people, because that's another arena that is really growing very, very rapidly. And it's not just in the military case. There are also private sector applications for those technologies. And I think that if we were to become involved, the training piece, the training issues that they currently face, we can address those and answer those questions that they have with in that regard. IDSEC is, I said before, it's a business proposition, but it's not only that, it's also a culture. People who operate and work in this particular field belong to this technology, and the technology belongs to them. But it also belongs to the nation. It's exciting. Politicians like it because it's non-polluting. It requires educated people. It requires good schools to support the infrastructure and the personnel that are involved in it and so forth. It's also pervasive throughout our economy. Nothing is built, developed, fielded, maintained. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, we think exclusively about airplanes, but it's not just airplanes. It's everything that we do, build, sell, market, whatever it is in this nation, has an element wherein modeling simulation was used somewhere along the line in the development of that particular product or article or whatever it happens to be. You can't go anywhere without touching something that has undergone some sort of testing or development that involves modeling and simulation. Our advancement in this particular field is exclusively based on the development, generation, and expansion and improvement of computer technology. Moore's Law reigns, and it just gets better. It doubles every 18 months and just gets better and better and better. The believability of our simulations is enhanced to the extent that we're very close to being real world. When we get there, the world will be our oyster, and it will become even more pervasive in our society. It's exciting to be here. It's a wonderful place, a wonderful field to be working in, not only because it's fun, but it also contributes significantly to the economic productivity of the country, and that makes us very proud to be part of it.
Well, one thing's for sure, you can take a look out there and know that you're getting your bang for your buck, that the fellow who is simulating the flight in a C-130 is flying for dollars per hour rather than thousands upon thousands of dollars per hour, and at the same time taking no risk with the flight crew, taking no risk with the personnel and things of that nature. There's just so many spin-offs and so many ways that the citizenry is getting just tremendous bang for their buck.
They absolutely are. The savings in, we call it money, time, and lives. You save money, you save time in your training cycle, and you save lives because you're not out there in high-risk environments trying to teach somebody how to employ a particular weapon or weapon system, and you don't have to do that. You can do it in the simulator. So you can expose people to very high-risk scenarios without risking, loss of life or limb. And the goodness of it is that you can replay the whole scenario.
The explosive growth in capabilities in simulators has been supported by ever more powerful computers. But if we're going to benefit fully as a society from the promise of this technology, we're going to need human resources too. We'll hear more on that topic in the second part of this interview, which will be presented next week. Retired Navy Rear Admiral Fred Lewis is the president of the National Training and Simulation Association. Find out more about the 2011 Inter-Service Industry Training, Simulation, and Education Conference on the web at iitsec.org. Jim Campbell is the founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of ANN. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have a clear and unlimited day.